بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection. I praise Him and I bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His true slave and messenger. In the first lecture, we reached the point where the division, we talked about the division and the path of its people being a vivid fact, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns from falling into such misery of divisions, and that it is hated by Allah and it brings His wrath and punishment, and that the salvation from division and disputes is possible, and it takes the way of revelation and the path of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we go now for the evidences. We said that this division and the path of it is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against. So the warnings that came in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, what are they? First of all, the evidences from the Quran. There are many evidences in the Quran and Sunnah and warning the Muslims against astray paths and against deviant pathways. The first evidence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned this ummah from falling the paths of the mushrikeen, of the disbelievers, the polytheists, who turned away from the texts of revelation, causing disputes and divisions amongst themselves that were manifested in the form of ahzab, of sects, each thinking itself to be on the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. In Surah Al-Rum, Surah 30, verse 30-32. And do not be of the mushrikeen, the polytheists, of those who split up their religion and became sects, each party rejoicing in that which is with itself. They invented ways and methods in the religion and followed their own desires. As a result, parties and groups were established, and Muslims were and still being called to pledge their allegiance to this or that group, or this or that leader, or the head, dead or alive, of a tariqah, of a mystic way. But the jama'ah which the Muslims are required to follow and give allegiance to is one, as defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It represents his way and the way of his companions, and encompasses all matters of deen, of the religion of Allah, and it includes the basis for the deduction of rulings that cover matters of life up to the day of resurrection. This is Sabil al-Mu'mineen, and which we will talk about extensively in the near future inshallah. This is the way of the believers from the companions and those who follow their path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the evidence we recited, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And do not be of the mushrikeen, of those who split up their religion and became sects, each party rejoicing in that which is with itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And verily this is my straight path, so follow it, and follow not the subul, the other paths, for they will scatter you about from his path. This is in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 153. The straight path is Al-Quran, it is Al-Islam, it is the fitrah, the natural inclination to submit to Allah and to His revelation. And as subul, on the other hand, the other paths include vain desires, groups, astray ways, the ways of the disbelievers, indulging in deep and worthless argumentation and scholastic ways and innovations. This fitrah, which also is a definition of this straight path, this fitrah, on its natural state, it has this complete submission to its creator. In fact, in a narration reported by Imam Ahmad with a good chain of transmitters, the Prophet ﷺ gave a parable of the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. The straight path saying, quote, Allah puts forward the example of a straight path. On its sides, two walls with open doors. Hanging on them are loose curtains. On the straight path's door, there is a caller saying, Come all and enter the straight path, and do not just watch. Another one calls from the inside of the straight path. The moment a person wants to open any one of these doors, he says, Woe to you, do not open it. If you do, you will enter it. The Sirat is Islam. The Sirat, the straight path, the Sirat is the Islam. The two walls are the limits ordained by Allah. And the open doors are Maharimullah, all that is made inviolable by Allah. And the caller at the head of the Sirat, of this path, is the Book of Allah. And the caller from above the Sirat is the admonition about Allah in the heart of every Muslim. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, which is a collection of hadith, and the transmission by, and also by At-Tirmidhi, who authenticated it. And the transmission by Imam Ahmad is good, as reviewed by Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi Al-Wadi'i in his study on the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. The second evidence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the way of divisions that split the deen. Anyone who chooses the way of the Prophet is entitled to be saved in his deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Verily those who divide their deen and pick up or break up into sects, you Muhammad, have no concern in them in the least. Their case is only with Allah, who then will tell them what they used to do. This is in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 159. Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, may Allah bestow his mercy upon him, reported that many followers of the righteous predecessors said that this ayah was sent down regarding all those who deviated from the path of the prophets, from the Jews, the Christians, and from those of Ahlul Ahwa'i wal Bid'ah, people who follow their vain desires and follow innovations in deen. And Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said about this ayah also, quote, they divided their deen by considering some parts and abandoning other parts of it, end of quote. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned this ummah not to follow the path of those before it, from the Jews and the Christians, who disputed and split their religions, He subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, free of all imperfection, stressed the enormity of division, as well as the reward for those who comply with His command. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. On the day of resurrection, when some faces will become white, and some faces will become black. Chapter 3, verse 106. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, who is reported to have said, there is no ayah, no verse in the Book of Allah more severe on the people of dispute from Ahlul Ahwa, from the people who follow their vain desires, than this ayah, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ, on the day when some faces will become white and some faces will become black. Imam Malik commented, quote, are there any words more clear than this? The reporter of Imam Malik saying, Ibn Wahab said, quote, I found him explaining the ayah in reference to Ahlul Ahwa, the people who follow their vain desires. End of quote. The third evidence, Allah the Most Exalted commanded His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the whole ummah, the whole nation, to keep away from Ahlul Ahwa, the people who follow their vain desires, who dispute about the verses of the Quran. قال تعالى, Allah the Most High says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, see those who engage in vain discourse or conversation about our ayat, about our verses of the Quran, then stay away from them till they turn to another topic. And if Satan causes you to forget, then after the remembrance, sit not you in the company of those people who are zalimeen, polytheists and wrongdoers, etc. This is in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 68. And the worst kind of distortions to the verses of the Quran is done by the followers of the Greek-based philosophy of ilm al-kalam, scholastic theology, and blind imitators of mystic ways who alter the texts related to the names and attributes of Allah through the so-called figurative interpretations and projections of so-called hidden meanings and so forth, or esoteric meanings. In this ayah, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, in his tafsir Fathul Qadir, said, in the above ayah there is a great admonition for those who like to sit with the mubtadi'a, meaning the people of innovation, who alter the words of Allah and mock his book and the sunnah of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam based upon their vain desires and fraudulent innovations. If a person, he said, does not deny what they are on and does not act to change it, then the least that he can do is to stay away from them. Although the person may be free from their dubiousness, they could make use of his presence with them to deceive the common people. His presence, therefore, he continued by saying, may cause more evil than that arising from listening to the munkar, to the falsehood. End of quote. So you see, they claim there is nothing wrong with our positions, and the evidence is that we have such and such person attending our activities, and he is known to be free from a certain innovation or certain innovations or wrong positions toward the verses of Allah, etc. They claim to be the case, but it is not really the case. Even in many of these talks that or these chat rooms on Pal Talk, you see many of these groups have their own rooms, and there is a lot of distortions of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala occurring through so-called figurative interpretations and scholastic theology or ilm al-kalam in these rooms. And that's why we advise, and we continue to advise the brothers and sisters to stay away from these rooms. And the evidence is in what you heard from the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the explanation of it by this alim of tafsir and the alim al-mujtahid al-imam al-shawkani rahimahullah. In fact, on the same page of his book, he said, he warned those who do not have good knowledge in the Quran and the Sunnah from sitting with the people of desires, of vain desires or innovators, because of the difficulty, look at this, of the difficulty of erasing what may touch the heart from their falsehood. I will repeat, because of the difficulty, he said, of erasing what may touch the heart from their falsehood. The affected person may stay the rest of his life on falsehood and die on it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the deviant ways. Now the evidence is from the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his ummah everything it needs to know about what leads to paradise and what leads to hell. قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما بقي من شيء يقرب من الجنة ويباعد من النار إلا وقد بين لكم. Reported in by At-Tabarani and Ahmad, and al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said its isnad is sahih. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said in the translation of the meaning of the hadith, nothing that would bring you closer to al-Jannah and distance you from the hell except that it had been made clear to you. This hadith has been reported by At-Tabarani and Ahmad and authenticated by al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against following the path taken by nations before us when they disputed with the way of prophethood. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, دعوني ما تركتكم فإنما أهلك من كان قبلكم سؤالهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم فإذا نهيتكم عن شيء فاجتنبوه وإذا أمرتكم بشيء فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. In the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Leave me with what I have left to you." This includes things which have not happened but are still even hypothetical. "Leave me with what I have left to you, for those before you were destroyed because of excessive questioning and their position to their prophethood, to their prophets. So if I forbid you to do something, then abandon it. And if I command you to do something, then do it as much as you can." This is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ way is inspired by Allah, and thus it represents the best guidance to mankind. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَخَيْرُ الْهَدْيِ هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ. And this is a part of a hadith reported by Ahmad, Muslim, Ibn Majah and Nasa'i. And the best of guidance is that of Muhammad, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to know about unity. Look at this. He guided us to know about unity and the ways of unity, and about disputes and its repercussions, and the way of salvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact said about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, as in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah 42 verse 52, "And verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith said, "إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا, أن تعبدوه ولا تشركوا به شيئا, وأن تعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا, وأن تناصحوا من والله الله والله والله الله أمركم." Allah likes three things for you. He likes for you to worship Him alone and associate not anything with Him, that you hold fast to the rope of Allah and be not divided amongst yourselves, and that you give advice to those whom Allah chose to be in charge of your affairs. This is reported by Imam Muslim and by Imam Ahmad. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah in his commentary on Sahih Muslim said, quote, "Holding fast to the rope of Allah is to abide by His covenant of following His honorable book and its limits, ascribing to its etiquettes. Now as far as the Prophet saying, and be not divided amongst yourselves, represents a command to stick to the jama'ah, the community. And its broader meaning, Islamically, it refers to the community that holds to the creed and the path called for by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and followed by his companions and those who follow their path from this ummah in all matters of deen up to the day of resurrection. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said, the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and be not divided amongst yourselves, represents, he said, a command to stick to the jama'ah and a call for reconciliation and union amongst the Muslims, where this matter represents one of the foundations of Islam. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, explained that the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hold fast to Jama'at al-Muslimin does not in any way mean a physical body union, quote, end of quote. Because such union, quote, he said, does not produce anything useful, meaning. He explained by saying, anyone who says that Jama'at al-Muslimin, anyone who says what Jama'at al-Muslimin says, then indeed he is in their fold. And anyone who opposes what Jama'at al-Muslimin says, then he is in state of opposition to the same jama'ah he is commanded to follow. This position of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah clarifies, as it is discussed in other sections, that what is intended by the jama'ah is the one that follows the Prophet's way in matters of aqidah as well all matters of deen. All Muslims are called to be within the fold of this jama'ah, and that contrasts with the jama'ah concept held and called for by some Muslims, in which they are transforming the Muslims into, quote, groups and parties, each competing for more members. The above understanding of al-Shafi'i rahimahullah echoes the definition of the jama'ah by the great scholar and mujtahid, who is someone who exerts the effort in the cause of Allah, but rather, I'm sorry, by the great scholar and mujahid rather, a warrior in the cause of Allah, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. He is one of the tabi'een, a successor of the Sahaba, an imam, a scholar, and a mujahid. He died in 181 of Hijrah, corresponding to 800 of the Christian era. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, when he was asked about the jama'ah meaning, what does it really mean? He said, quote, al-jama'ah, listen to his answer, al-jama'ah are Abu Bakr and Umar, end of quote. It was then said to him, Abu Bakr and Umar are dead. He responded, then such and such scholars constitute the jama'ah, and he named them. He was reminded that such and such of the scholars are also dead. Ibn al-Mubarak then said, Abu Hamza al-Sukkari is a jama'ah himself. And Abu Hamza al-Sukkari is Muhammad bin Maymun, who died in the year 262 of Hijrah, corresponding to 876 of the Christian era. He was a great muhaddith, a scholar of hadith, and a reference in hadith transmission for Imam Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i. He was a righteous known scholar on the path of Abu Bakr and Umar. So look what Imam Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak defined the jama'ah, defined it by one person. Abu Hamza al-Sukkari is a jama'ah himself. The great scholar Ishaq ibn Rahawai, who died in the year 238 corresponding to 853, said, quote, Abu Hamza, meaning al-Sukkari, was the jama'ah of his times. And in our times, it's Muhammad bin Aslam and whoever follows his path. He then added, I have not heard of a scholar who strongly adheres to the way of the Prophet ﷺ more than Muhammad bin Aslam. So you see, even the jama'ah was manifested in one person. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim commented on the reputation of Muhammad bin Aslam by saying, quote, any time in which there is an expert scholar of Sunnah inviting people to it, then he is a hujjah, he is a proof, he is evidence. The ijma', the general consensus, the greatest majority, and he is the path of the believers. Look at that. Anyone who abandons his path and follows other paths, Allah shall keep him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. What an evil destination. End of quote. So we conclude from these evidences that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against these divisions, and that these divisions are real and they are certain to occur, and the disputes. But the sunnah of Allah and His creation is that whenever they deviate from the path of His books and revelations, they would taste the bitterness of division and disputes. And this ummah is not an exception. The Prophet ﷺ confirmed that the children of Israel split into 72 sects, and my ummah will split into 73 sects, all of which are in the fire except one sect. They asked, which is that one, O Messenger of Allah? He responded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, that which I and my companions are upon. And in another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it is al-jama'ah. And it is al-jama'ah. So this hadith is an evidence that divisions and disputes, number one, will occur in this ummah, and that it will split into different sects. If Allah had willed, He would have made mankind, including this ummah, united under the same banner of Islam. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. In Surah Hud, verses 118-119. And if your Rabb Allah had so willed, He could surely have made mankind one ummah, one nation, one community, following Islam, meaning. But they will not cease to disagree, except him who your Rabb has bestowed His mercy, meaning those, the followers of the truth of revelation, and for that did He create them. In Surah Hud, Surah 11, verses 118-119. From the hadith, the definition even of the jama'ah in the another narration is explained in the first narration, that which I and my companions are upon. And in the earlier, as we said earlier, the sayings of the great scholars of Islam like Ibn al-Mubarak and others explained this very beautifully. This hadith is famous, known, and it has many routes of transmission from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Many scholars authenticated this hadith, including Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who said that, quote, "It is so famous and authentic hadith." And Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani considered it hasan because of other supporting narrations. The will of Allah is not confined or negligent, and nothing is refraining to Him. However, His wisdom necessitated that they will not cease to disagree and oppose the straight path, following the roads that lead to the fire of hell. Each considers the truth in what he says, and misguidance in what others say, except, there is an exception. Exception defined in the verse, and it is, Him on whom your Rabb has bestowed His mercy. قال الله تعالى في سورة البقرة سورة 2 verse 213 فهذا الله الذين آمنوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه. Then Allah by His leave guided those who believed to the truth of what were in the differ. Allah guided them to the knowledge about the truth because they submitted to the truth of revelation and they abandoned the astray paths. While others, فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كُفُورًا. But most of mankind refuse the truth and accept nothing but disbelief. As in Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17 verse 89. Allah knew all about His creation and their divisions. In order to manifest His wisdom and justice, He created the contrasts, the wicked and the good, the believers and the disbelievers, the good and evil, the cold and hot, the illness and its cure, etc. He created Iblis, Shaitan, and evil as a trial and test for His creation. He knew before creating mankind who amongst them will be from the people of paradise and who deserves to be from the people of hell. Being all just and all wise, He established the evidence on mankind by sending the books and messengers. This is the sunnah of Allah. This is the way of Allah. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. And you will not find any change in the way of Allah. Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 62. Some people utter the excuse that if divisions and disputes are surely to occur, then why should we bother? Now, according to Allah's divine decree, Allah created Iblis, Shaitan, and does not like him, and warned us not to obey him. Being He, the Most High, the All-Wise, He permitted disputes and divisions to occur and made of them a trial and test for us. But He does not like them and commanded that we follow not the astray ways and work to unite on the path of His revelation. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said regarding the meaning of the hadith of the splitting of the ummah which we mentioned earlier, he said, the meaning of the hadith is known and preserved in its transmission from more than one way, indicating that splitting and disputes are certain to occur in the ummah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn his ummah so that whosoever Allah wills is saved. I will repeat. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn his ummah so that whosoever Allah wills is saved. The justice, mercy and wisdom of Allah azza wa jal, Most Majestic and High, necessitates that He does not leave us wondering how to find the way of salvation and the road that leads to Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Does man think he will be left suda without a purpose? A clear purpose regarding this life, how to attain the unity on the truth? Look at this. A clear purpose regarding this life, how to attain the unity on the truth, and the position of the Muslim towards disagreements, disputes, innovations in deen, etc., is defined in the second section of the hadith, when the companions, as in one narration, asked the Prophet ﷺ, who is the saved group? His answer contained the path that leads to Allah, and which details the fulfillment of the objective for which we have been created, the worship of Allah alone. The Prophet ﷺ summarized it to be, quote, holding to his sunnah, and the way of the jama'ah, the Prophet's companions, those who succeed the Sahaba, and those who ascribe to this path and its foundation, even if he is one. And this is the most important element that is missing in the concepts and ways of many Muslim groups. The way of the companions in understanding and applying this deen in all of its aspects, the aqeedah, the da'wah, the self-purification, the jihad, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, what is kufr, what's iman, who is a kafir, all of this. The relationship between the rulers and the ruled, the way to achieve a Muslim state, I mean the general comprehensive Muslim state, meaning the khilafah, their way to known, this is, their way is known. And the foundations of their path are known. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, the Prophet ﷺ drew a line with his hand and said, this is the sabil, the way of Allah. He then drew several lines to its right and left, and he said, these are as subul, the other ways. On each there is a devil inviting people to it. He ﷺ then recited the following verse, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And verily this is my straight path, so follow it, and follow not other paths, for they will scatter you about from his path. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya commented, quote, that is so because the road that leads to Allah is one. It is the one with which he sent his messengers and brought down his books. None can reach him subhanahu wa ta'ala except through this way. If mankind come through any other road, he said, and open any other door, they will find all of the other roads blocked and the other doors closed. End of quote. He further said, the one who considers that the road is a long one, then his walking ability will be weakened. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ informed us about the division as well as the way of the truth. He ﷺ spoke of the division saying, the bitter fact is that not only the ummah is torn between many groups, but that each group is claiming to represent al-firqa al-najiyah, the saved group, which the Prophet ﷺ distinguished it as the one that will continue on the truth until the last hour. Here, we stop in order to pave the way for the things that make the path of this saved group clear. This is the criteria to find out really who represents the saved group and who is on the saved group and who is really adhering to the saved group. In the next talks, inshallah, that will be the major emphasis of these talks. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he described, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي, that upon which I am and my companions. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. And until we meet, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow all that pleases him and to keep us away from all of that which displeases him. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Anybody who will have questions as we agreed upon earlier can PM those questions, and then inshallah we will answer them in the next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I did announce about this intended lecture, inshallah ta'ala, concerning the matter of ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribute of ulu, the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the main reason of people being misinformed about this great aspect of aqidatul ulu lillah azza wa jal, the iman bi'alu Allah azza wa jal, the belief in the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are a lot of distortions regarding this great concept of this great belief in some of the rooms. In fact, some of the rooms have a title as very distortive, and when people inshallah will begin to grasp the importance of the matters that we are trying to lay the basics for in this series of talks at a later stage, inshallah ta'ala. Now, the Aqeedah is the creed. So when it comes to talk about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the people know the sources of knowledge and the correct sources of knowledge, then inshallah ta'ala it will be easier for them to know what is the truth as to what is falsehood. So, but since there is an urgency, I felt during yesterday some of the questions came about this matter. I felt then there is an urgency regarding it, and since then there is an urgency, then it would be better to address it rather than to leave it to at a later stage. Can you talk about your prophet? Just a few information. Who is his family? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jackie, Prophet Muhammad bin Abdullah. He is from the tribe of Quraysh and from the respected family of Hashim. And he was born in Mecca, and he received revelation. And when he received the revelation from Allah, and the revelation is the Quran, he called the people, the Arabs, and they were pagan Arabs. He called them to accept Islam and submit to Allah. They refused. They rejected. They caused a lot of pain. They accused him of all sorts of accusations, some of which you see even in these rooms nowadays. They called him crazy. They called him a magician. They called him all sorts of names. And he persevered. For 13 years he spent with them, calling them to the way of Allah, to accept Allah, to submit to disassociate themselves from all forms of worship except to Allah, their creator. And then when Allah commanded him, he left Mecca to Medina, north of Mecca. And then he grew up in steadfastness, and he grew up to be strong then with the support of the people of Medina, who accepted Islam and gave him allegiance and stood by him. And then the beginning of the establishment of the first Muslim state was in Medina. And then he returned to Mecca, opened Mecca peacefully, and he further called to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arabia, and many people accepted the Islam, and Islam, alhamdulillah, grew up strongly in Arabia, and then it spread beyond Arabia. As you know now, Islam is a fastest perhaps growing religion in the world. So this is a brief summary of who is the Prophet and what is his message. And Prophet Muhammad was unlettered. He didn't know many of the things which people claim and tell, or rather than label him with, although he didn't have any knowledge to read or to write. For example, they told him that he invented this Quran. He brought it from his own. He took certain things from the Christians. He took certain things from the Jews. All of these things, all these allegations are futile. And he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, received the revelation from Allah through the angel Jibreel, the same angel Jibreel that sent the revelations to Isa, to Jesus, peace be upon him. And in Islam, we believe in all the prophets and messengers of Allah to have received the revelations as Allah spoke of them and to their respective nations. And the final message to mankind, Islam, was revealed to Muhammad, and this constitutes the final message from Allah, and it abrogates all the former religions, and especially because of what happened to these religions, since they transformed the belief in the oneness of Allah in monotheism into believing in nature or in creation or in one form, or giving divinity to certain creatures, as with the Christians, perhaps they gave divinity to Jesus alayhi salam. And that this chain of belief in the oneness of Allah was broken by such innovations and such creeds which called for the worship of creation in one form or another, and in that with respect to the Christians in giving divinity to Jesus alayhi as-salam. Otherwise, all these prophets and messengers were on one message, calling the people to submit to Allah and to obey him and to disassociate from all forms of worship except the worship of Allah, the Creator himself. Therefore, we know from this that God is one, And his religion is one, the essence of which is submitting to Allah in worship and disassociating from any kind of worship or setting up rivals with Allah. This is Islam. This is the purity of Islam, and this is the religion of all the prophets. In its final form, this is the accepted religion to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, anyone who seeks a religion other than the religion of Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and on the day of resurrection, he will be from the losers.